For those of us who get a period, it can be overwhelming. It can be confusing in the very early days. It can be especially distressing for girls if a period comes as a surprise or is surrounded by secrecy and shame. 1.8 billion people across the world have periods. They're natural, they're healthy, they're a normal part of life. But sadly, the topic of periods is still taboo, and parents can really find it so tricky to approach the topic at the right time and the right way, so it's not scary or something to fear. Geraldine Connolly and Paula Herbert have both worked in their respective fields for over 20 years. They've come together to provide an education resource focused on gynecological health aimed at parents and carers of girls and people who get periods. This is amazing. I love the sound of this. Geraldine Connolly is a now retired consultant gynecologist, and Paula Herbert is a senior yoga and I'm going to butcher this now trying to say it. I'll get you to say it for me.
Ayurvedic.
Ayurvedic. I've never heard of this before. Yeah. You'll have to tell me exactly what it is. Yeah. A practitioner who runs My Girls Gynae. That's what it's called. They're both in studio. Geraldine and Paula, thank you so much for doing this, first of all, and joining me in studio. Geraldine, I mentioned you are now a retired consultant gynecologist. Can you tell us a little bit more about your background?
Well, thank you very much for having us on. And we're absolutely delighted to be here because we're both very passionate about this whole topic. Yes, I took early retirement back in January. I was working in the Rotunda and in Temple Street, and I set up an adolescent gynae clinic in the Rotunda and a paediatric gynae clinic in Temple Street. And people at the time thought I was a bit mad because nobody was really talking about it. Fast forward to 2014-16, I realised that the numbers coming into the clinic and the demand for the service had really, really expanded. And I was seeing a different type of problem. I was seeing a lot of girls with a lot of anxiety, a lot of girls no longer able to go to school, girls attending psychology and CAMS. And I was thinking, what is going on? Mm. And I found myself over the following few years, the nature of my consultations was changing. I was spending a lot more time basically explaining what was going on in the female reproductive cycle and trying to reduce and calm the anxiety that people had, because we know that stress and anxiety can have a big impact on the menstrual cycle and on all sorts of gynecological issues. And really what I felt was I would love to have the opportunity to go back a few years and maybe get to these girls at the age of 10, 12 and their mums and dads and carers, and talk to them about what their gynecology was all about, and explain what was normal, and actually also explain what was not normal, because not everybody is entirely normal, or putting inverted commas around that. So that's where this all started.
Interesting
from
that you said guardians and mothers and fathers first, and not school, because I mean, I know my first introduction to that kind of chat was in St. Mary's School in Baldoyle, and it was all very kind of embarrassing and never
cringe
and you're like, oh, I never really had that conversation. I do think a lot of parents think, oh, well, they learn all that in school and that's part of sex education and let's just leave it to the school system. Would you say that is one of the problems, that, you know, parents or guardians don't take on that?
Yeah. Responsibility? I mean, I think really what we need to be doing is being much more open about what's going on as women in the home and as older girls in the home about what's going on with our own bodies, and having it there as part of normal life and not shushing it and not shaming it and not having it as a taboo, and having your tampons or your pads or whatever you're using freely visible in the bathroom.
Not hidden away.
Now, I'm not suggesting that we be talking about it all the time, because really that gets a bit boring. But you know, I think to have an openness around in the home, so that girls will know that they will always know, and boys will always know, that, you know, at certain times, mums and older girls have periods. Mm. And it's not such a great big mystery then.
Yeah, because, it was a mystery to me for a long time. I'm just getting to grips with what's going on in my body now, and I'm in my 40s. Paula, you're a senior yoga practitioner with a particular passion for educating young girls and women on maintaining a healthy body and mind. Can you tell us about why you both wanted to set up My Girls Gynae, and how did that happen?
Yeah, I mean, myself and Geraldine have come from very different worlds in terms of our working life. But what we did have in common was that we were seeing girls and women on a very regular basis with hormonal imbalance. And what I found was that when we give girls and women techniques to manage stress, and we can make changes to the diet and tweaks to the lifestyle, that the improvement then in hormones is incredible. So Geraldine then approached me about this collaboration, and I thought, wow, that would be amazing to, as she said, to start educating girls at a really young age and promoting a really positive approach to health and well-being rather than dealing with problems further down the line. So Ayurveda is the Indian system of health and well-being that really goes alongside yoga. It's like a sister science to yoga, but it's not as well known. And it really looks at the cycle as an indication of the girl's health. So if we can get girls having a regular healthy cycle at a young age, it sets them up for a really brilliant experience with fertility and with menopause and even, you know, further on in life as well. So we thought, okay, that's a really great opportunity. Secondly, bringing together the holistic side and the medical side, it's really quite new. You know, even in the States, this type of approach is in its infancy, and we're always a few years behind the States with this sort of stuff. So we thought this would be really great, you know, to bring these two worlds together and give parents and girls as much information as possible and allow them to take some responsibility for their health and well-being and feel empowered as well with all that education so they can make informed choices.
You're coming at them at every angle in this. And it's funny to, when it's not funny, it's great. It's amazing to see these two worlds come together, the, you know, the medical side and the holistic side, which rarely don't. Yeah. Okay, let's talk about it then. What age should we start talking about periods to young girls and boys, but particularly young girls? What I mean is 6 too young? Is 12 too late? Is there a guideline? What would you say?
You know, I think we have to be careful with the level of information that we impart to a very young child. So there's only so much they can take on board. But we can start talking about this stuff from a very young age and just explain that, well, yeah, girls' bodies do change over time. We don't have to go into all the details at age 6 because it's too much. Age 8, I think we really have to start not just having one conversation, but lots of shorter conversations, you know, reinforcing the information over time. Because again, they'll only integrate so much. They can only take on board so much. And then I think if we've left it till 12, to be honest, I think it's a bit too late. They're going to get that information from friends who are hearing stuff at home, and they may not then get the correct information themselves. And as well as that, we have to be mindful that girls are getting their periods a lot younger these days than years ago.
Why is that happening, ladies? Do we have an explanation for that? Do we know?
We do.
Oh, go on. What is the theory behind that?
Well, basically, girls are getting their periods younger, and one of the main reasons is the obesity epidemic, is the increased weight that a lot of young girls are experiencing. So what happens from a physiological point of view is we get to a critical, you know, percentage of fat cells in our body, and our fat cells produce estrogen. And if we're getting to that critical level earlier, we get our periods earlier. And there's no doubt about it that that's the reason. Yeah.
Okay, Geraldine, what is the best way to begin the conversation around your first period? Is there an approach? Is there, should we be dropping off leaflets beside the bed? Should we sit them down? What do you think?
Well, again, following on from what Paula said and what I said earlier, I mean, having
periods as kind of a normal thing that happens in the home is a wonderful thing to do, because there's no doubt about it that children learn by example, and they just absorb what's going on in the house. And having short conversations, and not, you know, there's all this kind of, you know, hype about we have to have the conversation. We have to have small mini chats, really.
Okay.
You know? I do think that books can be very, very useful. I certainly used a book with my daughter because she didn't want to talk to me about it at all.
Fair enough.
And I know that Paula used a book with her daughter, but also you have conversations around it. And we were just chatting to Paula's daughter, actually, and she was just saying that she still, at the age of 16, dips in and out of that book that she got when she was eight or nine. Which
That's
is
great.
So it's really useful, you know, just to have a good book. So I would actually say to people, go into the bookshop, you know, let's do something very old fashioned. Have a look at what's available. Have a read of the book that you're going to give to your daughter, because really there are books out there that are not maybe spreading the message that you want to give to your daughter, and that mightn't have the right tone. There's lots and lots of books. There are books just about what happens in the body. There are books about periods only. There are books about sex education and consent. So there's lots of different types of resources out there, but you need to actually know what you're doing.
What you're giving to your daughter.
What you're giving to
That's
your daughter.
Good advice. That is really good advice.
Yeah.
Paula, you're not just focusing on the first period. What skills do you want to offer young girls and women in their health?
Yeah, I mean, we put together a whole series of resources really for girls and their moms, actually, so not just to educate the girls, in terms of yoga practices, a little bit of breathing practice, relaxation practices, so a lot of stuff around managing stress. And then we have a lot of natural tips in terms of remedies that can be used at home if the girl is experiencing period pain, for example. We explain how to use castor oil packs as well if they're experiencing irregular cycles. But besides all of that, we also have, you know, general information in terms of taking it easy on the first few days of the period. So not really pushing through, but adopting a lighter schedule if possible on those days.
You're the first, sorry, I just had to butt in here. You're the first person that's ever said that to me, and I'm 40, I'm in my 40s. I'm not going to give you the exact age because I'll be sacked. But isn't that amazing? Like, just to hear someone say take it easy. I think I've only kind of started being kinder to myself in the first couple of days of my period, because I think no, this is normal, we have to get on with it, I have to go to the gym, I have to do everything, I have to wear this, I have to go here, and people don't take on, and people don't hear that.
Absolutely.
Women don't hear that.
And it goes against the messages from society, the adverts that we see for even different sanitary products saying,
you can do a cartwheel on the beach.
Exactly.
It's not possible.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's so true.
Or maybe even, you know, you're on your holidays with your kids and you don't fancy getting into the swimming pool if you're not using a tampon.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, to just take it easy those first few days of the period. And then that sets you up for a much better month in terms of your overall energy and vitality. It actually improves your next period as well. So you'd be really surprised to see the difference in your period. And on top of that, just, you know, really sensible advice. Eat healthily. Forget about the processed foods as much as possible. Now, I know it can be difficult with teenagers, but trying to cut out the sugar as much as possible as well, especially with fizzy drinks, energy drinks, caffeine, even alcohol for the older girls as well. All of this stuff plays havoc with your hormones and your period.
Okay.
And then,
well, I don't like that, what you're saying. That's the part.
I know. Some of this stuff is not the most popular, but it works.
Yeah, it really works. Okay. Geraldine, I mean, what about boys? Let's talk about boys, because I have a son as well. Do you think we need to have that conversation so that boys and men understand what's happening? I mean, my husband knows something's happening when he says I give him the death stare and I want to kill him at a certain times of the month. But should we really educate them so they know what's happening gynecologically with girls and women in their house?
Absolutely. But we need to educate ourselves first, because I mean, I'm a gynecologist, I've had those days of wrath and thinking, I really think I need to leave. And then 2 days later, you get your period and you think, ah, that's what that was about. So, I mean, if we don't understand what's going on, how can we expect our poor husbands or our sons to? So I think really educating ourselves is very important. But yes, again, having the open situation in the home is very important. I was recently involved in giving a talk at Debunking the Myths. It's a course that the RCSI run for transition year students. And the way it works is you usually have, a boys' school and a girls' school, and you stand up and we talk about various different things, periods, contraception, consent, STIs, all that kind of thing. So my gig was to talk about periods. But unfortunately, the girls' school didn't show up. So I was faced with a gang of
the lads. Yeah.
And I swear it was just it was interesting, because my 20-minute talk morphed into a 10-minute talk. What I found was that I was unable to make any eye contact with anybody in the audience, which I was not surprised about. However, there was a very respectable silence, let's put it like that. These guys were actually really interested in hearing about what went on. And what I really found was a real engagement when I started to talk to them about eco products. We don't use eco products, you know, we should be using eco products. The amount of waste from tampons and pads and all that stuff, not really out there. And we really need to be talking about it, and we need to be, you know, campaigning to bring down the price of these products, because they're more expensive than the other ones. Mm. But yes, I mean, I think so this was a transition year group. It's really, I feel it's a little bit late. It's never too late, obviously, but it would be better if it was
if they were younger
and a more natural part of life.
And the conversation could have moved on with those lads. Somebody just texts in, lady, saying, hey, Jen, any advice for dads when it comes to periods? Is there anything we can do, Paula, is anything dads can do?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, again, like Geraldine was saying, with women, they need to get educated as much as possible. So if they can inform themselves about what's really going on during the cycle, why is my daughter feeling very moody or teary maybe a few days before she gets her period? But also just understanding that they don't have to be perfect. They just need to be supportive. You know, they need to be able to create a space as well in the home where they're not getting irritated with her if she's experiencing PMT. But another big one is that if they're doing the shopping, let's say on a very practical level, that they're prepared to buy pads or tampons for their daughter. You know, I was laughing saying to Geraldine that we often have photos going back and forth from the pharmacy or the supermarket going, are these the right ones? You know, when my husband does the shopping to check with my daughter. But, you know, to create that openness around periods, and also to be open to discussing it with her as well.
What about male teachers and coaches and, you know, those men in your life? I mean, is it still, or bosses? I would never, ever tell my boss, I can't do anything, I'm on a period. I just wouldn't say it. That's still pretty much the case, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is, to be honest. Like, let's be honest, I think it still is a big taboo. I think things are beginning to change, like, just this year with Wimbledon, just seeing the women being able to wear black shorts, with the women's rugby team as well, the Irish women's rugby team, they just changed their shorts from white shorts to navy shorts this year. But I mean, we're really late.
We're so late.
You know, to address these issues. But at least change is beginning to happen. And even with, you know, female athletes starting to talk about their performance as well and how it changes during their cycle, they're beginning to open up that discussion, and their role models for other girls as well. But yeah, I mean, that's a big part of what we want to do also, to go into sports clubs, work with coaches and moms and girls, and, you know, bring this whole discussion out into the open.
It's funny, because when I first heard that you guys were coming in and produce that, and it was telling me about, you know, it's still quite taboo, I was like, no, we've come so far, but we really haven't, have we? And then I started reflecting on my relationship with my own gynecological issues and how I speak about it with certain people in my life, whether work colleagues or like I would never ask my dad to buy me a box of tampons. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous. But we still have a bit to go. And that's why you set up My Girls Gynae. So if people want more info, where can they go?
They can go to mygirlsgynae.com. We're on Instagram. We're running workshops. We're getting out into schools.
Great.
And we're getting into clubs, sports clubs as well. Yeah, and we have a course. We've got an online video course about all about periods, which is a really nice resource, you know, which talks about, you know, the physiology, the menstruation, the period products and that kind
of thing. Okay, very good. And is this a course you can do with your daughter?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Ladies.
Or with your father.
Oh, with your father. Yes, sorry. There we go again.
Very, very important.
It's just ingrained in us. We need to get out of this. Well, I really appreciate the conversation. I think it's a really important conversation to have. You're always welcome back. There we go. Paula and Geraldine, thank you so much for joining me in studio. That was Geraldine Connolly, now retired consultant gynecologist, and Paula Herbert is a senior yoga practitioner from Yoga Vida Living in Blackrock. They've teamed up to run My Girls Gynae to educate us all on periods. And for more information on their services and courses, you can go to mygirlsgynae.com, or, as the lady said, follow My Girls Gynae on Instagram. And if you know of a parent or a guardian who can benefit from listening back to this chat, it will be podcast after the show. Just go to 2FM and search my name. Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.